Hey, good morning to everybody. Good morning to you out there on today. I just want to welcome you to come into this place called Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, where we want to welcome you to come grow in the soil of God's love with us. I just want to thank y'all that are tuning in from all of the different streaming platforms on YouTube Live, on Facebook Live, as well as www.soilchurch.org. I just want to thank y'all for spending, as we always say, that small segment of your Sunday just to allow God to pour into your word on today. So I'm going to ask you just for a little patience with us. We've got some new sound equipment that we're working with here. So if anything happens, we'll have to change our system processes and maybe use a different device. We're testing some things out. You know why? Because we want to do the very best that God has for us to do. So sometimes when you're upgrading, sometimes when you're going to the next level, there's this thing called growing pains, right, that happens to come in. And sometimes we experience that. The best of the best can experience growing pains. It doesn't matter what industry you're in or whatever it is. Whenever you go from here and you excel to the next level, there's this thing in between called stretching, called growing, okay? And sometimes things ain't always right, but eventually they're going to be made all right, okay? So I just want to thank y'all again for tuning in with us here. Let's also give a special shout out to those listening on We Talk Radio as well, where we like to talk, listen, and take action, all right? So just a couple of housekeeping things here just to get started on this morning here. And now let's go ahead on, because you've seen the video, you've seen the posting. All of y'all already, you are highly anticipating this word on today, because we're coming from the Word of God. And we've been in this series here talking about, can you grow what was sown? Can you grow what was sown? We've been coming out of the book of Matthew. You know, Matthew, it's in the New Testament, right? We've got the Old Testament, Genesis through the books of Malachi, and we've got the New Testament, Matthew through the books of Revelations. And we're going to come from Matthew. Matthew gives us a very detailed explanation, and he basically paints a literal picture for us. When Jesus was teaching this story, he was teaching because Jesus taught in parables, as we've been talking about, so that he could relate to people. And you know why we say that? Because we have a saying here at this church, the Word of God, what does it do? It speaks to us. Okay, it lives through us. And what does it do? It meets us wherever we are in our life. And so Jesus would teach in parables because parables met you where you were. Parables would help you to see things from a practical standpoint. Parables would allow you to be able to understand the divinity side and connect with the practical side. And that is what the Word of God is here to do for us. So we've been in this series here. Can you grow what was sown? And again, we've been talking about this parable. Now, who was Jesus teaching to? He was teaching to the disciples. Remember the 12 that he picked when he said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That group. Who else was he talking to? Those that heard, those that saw the miracles, those that witnessed him turning water into wine, those that witnessed him turning the leper into being fully healed, those that remember the guy that was a paralytic and how his hand got stretched out forth, and the blind man and the spittle that was on the ground. And so all of this stuff gained a lot of traction. It's almost safe to say that this was social media before it was social media. For you younger folk, that's kind of how we look at this. When the word travels and people begin to like and post and share, which is something I need y'all to do, okay? When people begin to like and post and share and be able to tell of the wonderful things here, that is what this is all about. That is how the community becomes embraced and the community begins to see and hear and understand. So when the woman with the issue of blood, she heard about Jesus because of all of the examples and all the talk and all the chatter and all these things that go on. So she knew without the shadow of a doubt that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I can in fact be healed. This is why he taught in parables. But for the system, for the series that we're in right now, we've been talking about something unique, because we want to know if you believe God that you can grow with what he has given you to grow with. In other words, can you work with what he's given you? So last week, here's the thing. We talked about starting small and giving your seed a chance to grow and not despising the day of small beginnings. Because we want to remind you and encourage you that it ain't about where you start. It's not about where you start, just so you get started. Just so you take the small leap of faith. Just so you put faith into action and you want to understand the value of just getting started. We challenged you last week here because we asked you some challenging questions here. Can you master the minimal? Can you master the minimal? Can you be content with your current capacity? Those are some of the questions that we ask you. And we want to understand here that if you just set your mind on the right track for just getting started, God has wonderful things laid up for you because the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. He told us to be rulers, and we're going to get into all of that too, but I just want you to understand, you can't receive all of those things until you just get started. We ended our message last week, and I'm just doing a little bit of recap because when you watch sequels on television and the new series come out, they kind of give you all of the things that were the highlights of that previous series. And that's what we're doing right now. So that when you see or listen or watch the next level of the series, you're kind of warmed up and you can connect from point A to point B. And that's how we teach in this ministry. We want to leave you the breadcrumbs. We want to be able to draw out a spiritual puzzle for you to connect all the dots and follow what the Lord is wanting us to follow. Okay, so what we want to understand here is we wanted to equip you with the knowledge here and give you some tools about some things that are coming up in your life because somebody is getting ready to just getting started. Somebody right there just got a new flame ignited in their life about taking steps, moving out of their comfort zone. But then you get to a point to where you realize that, hey, this is just a few. Hey, this is something small, something minimal. And if you're not careful, you can look at the one that had five talents. If you're not careful, you can look at the one that had two talents. And the one talent that you have can be that one recipe that God needs to connect several links of missing issues and things going on in this world. But you have to realize the value in just getting started. So what I want us to know and understand is, can you be content in your current capacity? Because if you can't, then there is no end point for you to be able to walk into. But as we get ready to step into our message here, I want you to get your hearts and all together here. I want you to get your minds prepared to receive the word that God has for you on today. And I also want you to do this for me. I'm going to ask you for this. I don't ask you to do this a whole lot, but I want you to take some notes. Okay, if you've got a phone, you can snap these photos. We're going to give you a lot of great tools, and I want you to have something to fall back on. Some of you ask for different things, and you ask for, hey, can you send me some literature? Hey, can you send me this, send me that? Everything is coming from the Word of God. So if you can just take the notes here, okay, and until the book gets written, right, that's coming on down the road, but just take some notes. Take some notes and write some of these things down because these are keys of freedom. These are keys of taking you to the next level. Everything that we give you is to equip you with the Word of God to put into the practical application of what you need to do. And we're here to equip you so that you can live and experience your best life. So let's get our hearts and our minds prepared to receive the Word on today. And I want us to really and truly try to eliminate all distractions. Challenge yourself to say, I am going to listen to the entirety of this message. Okay, maybe you put your phone on disturb or maybe you don't answer that other call or whatever that is, because when God is pouring into you, he needs uninterrupted fellowship with you. Okay, so we're going to give you some great tools on today. And as you can see, we're going to be, as you can see our first slide up on this morning here, we're coming from, as you can see, all over the world. Can you grow what was sown? Part three, can you grow what was sown? Part three, let us get ready to prepare our hearts and minds and go into a corporate word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for just being on the throne, Lord. We thank you for bringing us together one more time, Father God. We don't take this time for granted, Lord. Somebody didn't wake up this morning. Somebody's yesterday was very painful. Somebody is going through something right now. And Lord, all they can do is just say thank you. And Lord, for that person, whoever they are, We stand in the gap for them, Lord Jesus. And we just want to right now, Lord, welcome in your presence, Lord. Be in our minds, be in our thoughts, be in our bodies physically, be in our bodies spiritually, Lord. And as we continue to grow in you, Lord Jesus, give us an open heart. Give us a soft soil to receive your seeds, Lord Jesus. And help us, Lord Jesus, to be able to use what you've given us to be a blessing to someone else, Lord. It's all about reciprocating what you give us, Lord. This is how we grow, Father God. So, Lord, give us everything we need. Strengthen us, Lord, in our areas of weakness. Give us, Lord, even more strength, even in our areas of strength, Lord. Give us a focused mind, Lord. Give us a mind. Give us a heart. Lord Jesus, give us a mindset to just be after your own heart like David. And we just thank you in advance for this wonderful word. Somebody is going to have a life-changing experience on today. Somebody is going to receive you back into their life on today. Somebody that was going through some darkness is going to see the light at the end of the tunnel, Lord. And we thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. You said you're the way, you're the truth and the light. And in order to get to the next level, we have to come through you. Give us your word, Lord, that gives us the door to walk through the purpose and the plan that you have for us. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Holy Spirit, come in and stir up these gifts. Come in and stir up our ears. Come in and stir up our hearts. Give us a wonderful environment to just praise and worship and fellowship like never before. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I just want to thank y'all for tuning in with us again on this morning here. And let's get ready for the word of God. Amen. And amen. All right, here. So the foundation, ladies and gentlemen, of our series, it comes from this parable that we've been teaching about the past few weeks. That was this master that was, he was going on a journey and he had three servants. He had three servants, and what he did was he left things for them and he gave them these things called talents. These were things of value, okay? Some translations in the Bible says it was money. Okay, and it was value, and it was something that he left them because he left them with a foundation. And let me say something about that, right, to our leaders here. Okay, you have to give the people that are following you a foundation. You have to give them something to build from. Okay, if you're leading and no one's following, you're just going for a walk. You have to give people something to start with. Sometimes we get disconnected in leadership. This message is not about leadership, but I just allow the Spirit to lead me. Sometimes in leadership, we miss it. And we don't leave the foundation for some of us to be able to take and build and go to the next level. And those are things that create burnout. Those are the things that create stress. Those are the things that make you tap out and don't feel that you're called to do it. You just have to understand you have to leave them something to start with. So this master, he got it. As Jesus is explaining, and Matthew so beautifully articulated this, he left him these things called talents, things of value. Okay, to one, he left five talents. To another, he left two talents. And to another, he left one talent. He gave them something of value. Okay, and it was up to them to determine what to do and what the next steps were, because when you get something, then it is up to you to do something with what was given to you. So the master of those servants, he knew them all very well, and Matthew records the fact that he gave them according to their, here's that word, he gave it to them according to their capacity. We all, ladies and gentlemen, have a different capacity. We all have a different capacity, and God loves us so much, ladies and gentlemen, that he doesn't give us anything more than what we can bear. If he expects us to be stewards of our vine, he's not going to give us a vine that we're not equipped to be able to manage. He's not going to be able to give us grapes that we cannot protect. He's not going to give us something that does not line up with the capacity that he has for us. So this master, the beautiful point that I want to make is he knew what to leave them. He knew what to leave them. So the one that received five talents, there was another one that received two talents, and then there was one that received just one talent. And this was, again, I say, a direct reflection of their capacity because they had a duty and a responsibility to maintain what was given. What was given to you from God? And what have you done with what God has given you? I want to leave that as an open-ended question because those are some of the things that I want you to think about as we're going through this message. But not to get too far off base here during this message here, one thing that I find interesting is that Jesus is teaching this parable, but it's all about the servants. Very little about the master, but it is in fact all about the servants. And what I want us to understand here, think about this, servants. What is Christianity all about? It's not about how I can receive and how I can be blessed and all the accolades and all of that. But Jesus said, the greatest among you will be your servant. We're going to get to that here in just a little bit here. But I want you to understand something here. As Jesus is teaching, these are the pillars, ladies and gentlemen, of Christianity. And we don't talk about this enough because we have lost the message. We have lost what the ministry is all about. But these are the pillars of Christianity. It's called service. It is all about service. This is why this parable is so uniquely important, because it is all about the servants as he's teaching. Again, very little to do with the master, but everything to do with the servants. And this is important to note, because as I just mentioned a few minutes ago here, we're going to go back a couple chapters in the book of Matthew, because as you can see in Matthew 23 and 11, as you can see in Matthew 23 and 11, Jesus is saying, he's making it very simple. He says, the greatest among you will be your servant. The greatest among you will be your servant. So here's what he is doing, and I want us to understand this as we're lining up our word and laying the foundation of this teaching on today. He's using a simile, and you know what a simile is, okay? It's a word, you know, like or as. It's something that sounds the same. It connects the same. Okay, some of you English buffs out there, you guys know what I'm talking about, okay? A simile is using like or as, okay? So this is like him saying there is a connection and a simile between greatness and servant. Between greatness and servant. So here's what Jesus is wanting us to understand as you see our next slide up here on this morning. If you want to experience greatness, it starts with having a mind and heart of being a servant. It starts with having a heart and a mind of being a servant. Somebody wants to know, how do I get promoted on my job? Somebody wants to know, how do I go to the next level in my career? Somebody wants to know, how can I take my level of leadership to the next level? It starts with being the greatness of service. Never lose heart or the mindset, ladies and gentlemen, of being a servant. When wanting to be served is more important than serving, that's when the message of ministry is lost. Christianity can become buried like an unused talent if service is not the foundation of what we're doing. So we understand in this parable here this morning that all three servants, they were given something to start with. And the question is, can each of them grow what was sown? Can they grow what was sown? We know that the servant that was given five talents, what we found out was that he doubled the talents that were given to him. And the servant that was given two talents, we know that he doubled the talents that was given to him as well. And what I want us to understand is when the master returned and after being gone for a long time, then the two that did something with what they had given to them, here's what I want you to understand. This is what the master had to say to them. As you can see our next slide up here on this morning, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I want you to understand something. It's important to note that the master indicated that they were faithful over just a few things. Not over a massive amount of things. Not over just this big astronomical number, but just a few things. He didn't say many things. He said a few things. And what I want us to understand here, this is important because as you see the next slide up here that we're putting up on this morning here, oftentimes we can think if we're not doing many, we're not doing any. Okay, sometimes we get caught up into this numbers game and we can think that if we're not doing many, we're not doing any. And sometimes doing many can negatively impact our doing any. You ever heard that saying that you might know some people and if it's you yourself, then it could be you or whatever the case. But you ever heard that saying of somebody being a jack of all trades and a master of none? You ever heard that saying throwing the entire kitchen sink out at either a process or a new SOP or something that's being implemented? Okay, you ever heard of just trying to do too many things at once? Sometimes the downside to that and the detriment of doing things like that is because you can't master the few. If you're a jack of all trades, what do you specialize in? That can oftentimes lead to not being able to be a completer. And sometimes we get so caught up, ladies and gentlemen, into the many that we don't specify on a few things. What I want us to understand here is you don't have to have a whole lot. You don't have to do more than what your capacity can contain. Jesus understands that and he knows that because, listen, he didn't start out preaching to more than 5,000 folks. He started out by just recruiting and teaching the 12. These are the things that I want us to understand. These are biblical, practical things that I want us to know and understand because everything we need to understand growth and development and management and processes and business and life and growth and managing stress and everything that we need to know and understand, it is all in the Word of God. But what I want us to understand here, sometimes we think that doing many is a great thing, but sometimes that can negative impact our doing any. Okay? Because what I want you to understand here, and especially to us gentlemen here, we have to understand that your vine, it reflects your size. Your vine is a carbon copy or direct reflection of your size. Don't try to outvine what you can maintain. Don't try to outsteward what's more than in your vine. There's this thing, and I'm going to use a musical term here. There's this thing called being in the pocket. Some of you music folks here, and that became very famous into the world of jazz, okay? Jazz was an American-born style of music, and jazz was, there's a lot of syncopated rhythms and notes, and you got your big band jazz, you got your swing, you got your trios, you got many different forms of jazz. A lot of artists that are out there, Louis Armstrong, from Louis Armstrong to Fats Domino to Boney James today, and Kurt Whalum, all of those guys, they started with this thing called in the pocket. Okay, the pocket was the music, the drums, and the bass. They had this thing called cohesiveness, and they were locked in. They were in this thing called the pocket. And if they got outside of the pocket, if the drummer went too fast, the bassist would have to call him back. Or if the bassist got too wild, okay, on the big strings or the big string bass or whatever, he would have to call him back because that laid the foundation of all the jazz. And the reason why staying in the pocket was so important is because your horn section and your woodwind section and everybody else, they were going to be all over the place. Your piano, they were going to be all over the place with their ad-libs and being all fancy with a syncopated rhythm, but they had to have something, here's that word, to fall back on. So it's called staying in the pocket. And sometimes in life, ladies and gentlemen, we don't stay within our pocket. Sometimes we try to outkick our coverage, or sometimes we try to do other things and we realize, where did this stress come from? Oh, I'm speaking to somebody on today. Where did this added stress come from? Why am I making things so hard in my life? Why am I taking on all these things? Because you're not staying in the pocket. You have to stay within the confines of the vine that God has given you. And if you stay within your vine, you're going to stay within the pocket and you're going to be able to see the rhythm move and the rhythm flow in your life. Somebody just got a word on today. Somebody needed to know, hey, I'm out of rhythm in my life. Hey, I'm taking on too much and I'm out of pocket here. My bass guitar is trying to tell me to get back in the pocket, but I'm way over here. I'm looking at the guy with 5 talents. I'm looking at this lady over here with 2 talents. Maybe I just need to master my 1 talent and stay within my pocket. Holy Spirit is moving on this morning here. So what I want us to understand, there is something if you just stay within your pocket and you just live through the lens in which God has given you. If you don't veer to the left, Joshua, if you don't veer to the right, Joshua, and you move forward and be strong and only courageous, you can move to the next level in your life. But you must, my friend, stay within the pocket. So I want you to understand here, Jesus makes it a very, very unique point here to just be faithful over a few things. Being a few, just because it's a few doesn't mean that it's not valuable. Just because it's a few doesn't mean that God can't do anything with that. Just because it's a few doesn't mean that you're less than anyone else or anything else that anybody else is doing. It's just where you are. It may not always be where you are, but it's where you are today. Embrace where you are today. Love where you are today. Stay within your pocket and you can reduce stress. You can reduce heartache. You can reduce all these other things if you just stay within the rhythm of your life and embrace staying in your pocket. So your vine, ladies and gentlemen, it reflects your size and the master is giving you a responsibility of what he gave you. And that is nothing more and nothing less. You have to understand that. So my question for you on today is, what was sown into you? What was sown into you? I'm not talking about what was sown into your siblings. I'm not talking about what was sown into your friends or your neighbors around the corner or anything. This is a personal thing here. What was sown into you? And I know that he gave you something. I know that God has given you something, and I know that because the word of God tells me in Jeremiah 29 and 11 that he has plans for you. He has plans for you. He has something that he has given you, and you have a responsibility to be a steward of that vine. And what he's given you is not going to harm you, but it is in fact going to prosper you. His plans are for you to be fruitful and to multiply. His plans are for you to experience the abundant life. So what has God given you? His plans are for everything that you touch, it shall prosper. So again, I ask, this beautiful body of Christ is listening to us on today here. What was sown in to you? What was sown in to you? I want to challenge you to do a deep evaluation, a self-evaluation over your life and seek God to ask him, what has he given you to do? It takes some time to get into rhythm with God, to understand what it is that he needs for you to do. Because what he needs for you to do is going to add value to his kingdom. This is the core. Okay, this is the foundation. And before you know how to maintain being faithful over the few, you have to know what it is that he needs from you. Before you can be faithful over the few, you have to know what it is that he needs for you. So I want you to spend some time aligning yourself with God. How do we do that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything that is right under the eyes of God, his righteousness. And then he's going to add things unto you. What's that? Clarity with what he needs for you to do. Direction and how to get there. The people that's involved with helping you take it there. But it starts with seeking him first. And let me give you a hint. Whatever it is that God needs for you to do, guess what it's going to be based around? Being a servant. That's when you know that it comes from the heartbeat of God. It is involved around service. So once you understand your divine calling or your divine purpose is, what you want to do is you want to acknowledge the starting point. You want to then acknowledge the starting point and embrace your growth and acceleration. Because if you recall a note that we had from last week, we're going to put this slide up here for you on this morning here. And I want you to understand here, if you lose value in starting, you will never see growth and completion. If you lose value in starting, you will never see growth and completion. Now, what we want to do, ladies and gentlemen, is we want to help you get to the point to where you equipped and you can bridge the gap from your starting point to gaining consistent traction with your growth and acceleration. It's time to stop just sitting at the starting point. It's time to just stop sitting on the sidelines. We have to take actions, ladies and gentlemen, and we have to go from point A to point B. And this is what God needs for us to understand on today. So for the next few moments, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give us some points on how to remain faithful over the few. Because some of us are frustrated that it's just a few. Some of us want to be moving a lot further along, but we're not content with where we are. Okay, some of us have lost value because they've gotten caught up into the numbers game. But what I want to do is I want to give you some tools here to help you to stay within the confines of what God has for you. Okay, now I know that we may and we may not get through all of these. I don't know what the Spirit has, right? But I will tell you, do me a favor. Tell your digital neighbor we can always finish next week. Right? Tell your digital neighbor, text them, put it out there, say, we can always finish next week. We're going to do our best to get through all of these here because I've got quite a few to cover here. Now, y'all been waiting on this here. Y'all been waiting on the steps here. We're about to give you some equipment here. I can see the spiritual tool belts right out there. You've got your hammer. You've got your breastplate. You've got your helmet of salvation. You've got all that stuff here. Now, let's add some tools to your spiritual bucket. Is that all right? Can we do that? Let's give you some tools here. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you some tools on how to remain faithful over your few. Okay? How to remain faithful over your few. And I want to start with point number one. Point number one says, you, ladies and gentlemen, here, as you can see up on the slide, point number one for how to remain faithful over your few. Number one is discover your why. Discover your why. Jeremiah 29 and 11, as y'all have heard me talk about this, is you have to know your why. You have to know your why because guess what? Jesus, he left heaven and he came to earth with a why. He didn't come to earth, step out of all glory and everything from being worshiped to the highest levels of being worshiped. He didn't step down from all of that just to come to earth, just to hang out. No, he came with a why. And here's something that I want to point out here. It's been said that you haven't truly lived until you live for your why. You may be going through the motions. You may be experiencing some things. But until you discover your why, you have not truly lived. Discovering your why, it gives you a sense of purpose and direction for your life. So in order to remain faithful over your few, you first have to know your why. Amen? Amen? All right. Number two here. Let's move on to number two here. Here's the next thing as we're talking about how to remain faithful over your few. Number two says, don't compare your capacity to others. Don't compare your capacity to others. All right, here, Hebrews 12 and 2. Let's talk about what Hebrews 12 and 2 says here. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. So you focus on the purpose and the plans that he has for you. And guess what happens? Because he wrote your faith. He literally picked a spiritual pen up and he wrote your faith out. He got your faith from the start and to the end point. This is what he did for you. Since he wrote your faith, he also perfects your faith. Jesus has beautiful penmanship that can write like no one else can write for the faith over your life. He is the author and the perfecter of your faith. And so you have to be focused on what he has for you. You have to be focused on what he has for you. That's where your focus needs to be and not on someone else's capacity. I'm going to say that again for them sitting way in the back. This is where your focus needs to be and not on someone else's capacity. All right. You have to not be in the, you know, don't compare. Don't get into the whole comparison thing in your life. Don't compare your capacity to others. Amen. All right, we're moving along here. We might get through all of these. As a matter of fact, here's number three. And we're talking about how to be faithful over a few. All right, number three is eliminate negative self-talk. Eliminate negative self-talk. Let's hear what King Solomon is telling us in Proverbs 18 and 21. He's telling us here that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And a little over a year ago, I did a whole series on the power of the tongue. Remember that? And we were talking about how the tongue is one of the smallest muscles on your body, but it has one of the most impacting and life-changing functions in the entire human body. And those that love it eats its fruit is what he's telling us. If you love what you say, you're going to eat the fruit of what you speak. You can literally talk yourself out of your destiny with negative self-talk. And not only can you talk yourself out of your destiny, sometimes you can listen to the wrong people and they will also talk you out of your own destiny. This is why we're saying eliminate negative self-talk. That's it coming from you and the people that you're also surrounded around too. This is what we mean by stewarding your vine. Okay, that a couple of weeks ago, we were out, my wife and I, we were out doing yard work. We like to do yard work as a team and just kind of get out there and we have fun with it and everything. And I noticed that one of our trees in the front yard, it had a branch. And it had a branch and there was no life on that one branch. There was no leaves budding. There was nothing coming from it. It was a little bit darker. It was discolored. And I looked at that and said, I immediately went to the word of God and thought about when Jesus cursed the fig tree. I was looking at that branch and said, there is nothing coming from this actual branch. So I had to take the clippers here and I clipped that branch off because there was nothing produced from it. It was an eyesore. It was sitting there and it wasn't producing. So what that's called is that's called pruning. That is called pruning. You prune so that new growth can be grown. So that new growth can begin. So that new growth can grow. And if you're sitting there taking up pew space and you're not doing anything here, then there is a pruning that has to come from that. What else do we have to prune? I've said all that to say this. Sometimes we have to prune our lives and prune ourselves away from negative self-talk. If we know that we are surrounding ourselves around people that can get into our ear and speak negative seeds into where we're trying to go in our life, you've got to take your clippers out and you got to do some clipping. It might hurt, but long term, you're going to appreciate yourself from separating that. And the number one thing that you have to do is make sure you're not speaking negative things on yourself. You have to eliminate the negative self-talk. Remember the little engine that couldn't. And once he began to gain confidence and began to gain strength, he began to say, I know I can. I know I can. I know I can. Some of y'all are looking at how high the hill is. And you're saying that I think I can. I think I can. But you got to know with the help of God behind you, you have to know you can. You have to know you can. And if there's anybody in your life, music that you listen to, movies that you may watch, okay? Listen, impacts come in a lot of different phases. You have to be a steward of your vine and cut yourself away from anything that will negatively impact where you are going in your life. So number three is you have to eliminate negative self-talk. All right, let's move on to number four. I hope this is blessing somebody on today. If this is blessing you, put that in the chat. Let me know this is blessing you. And do me another favor, like this page, share this page. You know, don't receive all this word. Be a blessing to somebody. Tell them, hey, listen, you need to listen to this message. If you're on YouTube, let people know, hey, listen, you need to subscribe here. Subscribe to Spirit of Inspiring Love Church or go onto the website. Do something. I need y'all to help us spread this word. And if you'll do that for us, the more people can be blessed by this word and we can little by little change this world. Guess what? Because we are being faithful over a few. You see how I threw that in there? We are being faithful over a few. All right. So number four, let's move on along here. Number four says, be completely committed. Number four says, be completely committed. And I've got Proverbs 16 and 3, and I just want to read the Message Bible's translation here because King Solomon is talking, but I love the practical sign of the tell it like it is with the Message Bible's translation here because this is what I want us to understand here. What it says is that put God in charge of your work, then what you've planned will take place. Put God in charge of your work, then what you've planned will take place. Okay, the only way to be completely committed, ladies and gentlemen, is you have to allow God to be in charge. You have to be committed through God. That's the way completely being committed has to work. Because he's the author and the finisher of your faith. And if there's going to be completion, completion comes from God. So you have to allow your commitment to come through God. And if you're going to be completely committed, you got to run through the filters of the Father. How about that? If you're going to be completely committed, you have to run it through the filters of the Father. So if you want to be completely committed to anything, be committed to God. Some of us have a problem being committed. We get distracted. We lose hope. We lose focus. We begin to, you know, welcome in negative self-talk. And all of those things redivert us away from getting to the end point. Being completely committed says every day I'm going to be intentional with my life. Being completely committed says every day I'm going to add something to what I'm moving towards. Being completely committed says, and I'm going to press on toward the mark. And that is the mindset. That is the focus. That is what you get up and you live to be able to do. So being completely committed means I'm not one foot in and one foot out. I'm not hot today and cold tomorrow. I am going to work on being a steward of my vine to completely be consistent, completely be consistent, completely be focused, completely have my mind where it needs to be. And I'm not going to allow all these distractions to get the best of me. I'm going to be completely committed because, Lord, I want to live my life for you. Lord, I want to wake up and be a blessing to somebody on today. Lord, I want to see how you can use me on today. When you begin to give yourself that kind of talk, when you begin to give your spirit that kind of fire, when you begin to have that kind of a life, that is going to walk you into the mindset of being completely committed. Amen. And that is what you have to do, ladies and gentlemen. All we're stirring up on today, we got a couple of more points, but I don't know what the Holy Spirit is about to do. Let's move on to number five, Eric, before I go down a rabbit hole. Let's move on to number five. All right, number five says, don't undervalue where you are. Don't undervalue where you are. And I like Zechariah 4:10 coming from the New Living Bible. And this is what we talked about last week here, because our last message we read Zechariah 4:10, which it says, don't despise the small beginnings. Don't despise the small beginnings, for the eyes of the Lord rejoice to see the work begin. Ladies and gentlemen, can y'all see on today? God loves when you get started. Can you understand on today? God appreciates you starting small. He's telling us right here in the word of God that the eyes of God, that means he's watching you. He knows what you're all about. He knows where you're getting started. He knows that it's just a little bit. Don't you know the eyes of God were on David when he was tending sheep? God had king on his mind, but David was cleaning sheep, prepping sheep, protecting sheep, keeping them out of harm's way, doing all of that stuff. The things that you do, ladies and gentlemen, God is watching you. The things that you do, God is watching you. He loves the fact that you're starting small, but you've got big thoughts in your mind. You've got big dreams and where you're going. You've got big things that you're getting ready to do. It's not about where you start. God says you got enough faith to know where I'm taking you. God loves, his eyes love to look and see you just getting started. There is godly value, ladies and gentlemen, in getting started. There is godly value in getting started. And remember last week, we talked about one of the greatest orators in the last 50 years of this world by the name of Les Brown. He reminds us that in order to get to greatness, you can't get to greatness until you get started. You cannot become great until you get started. Nothing was ever achieved without starting. So don't let starting frustrate you. Some of us get frustrated because we're starting. We don't like starting. We want it to already be figured out. We want it to already be worked out. We want this instant microwave success. And this is where the lie is being told on today. It takes time, ladies and gentlemen. And for you young folk out here, get your mind off of social media and all these overnight successes. Not everybody is going to experience that. Some of y'all getting frustrated because you didn't hit the lottery last night. Let me tell you something. There ain't nothing that's too hard from God. We want instant gratification in our world on today. And if it don't happen right now and then, if it don't happen as fast as we think it was, we begin to pan out and stop being faithful over the few. It takes work. It takes time. It takes cultivating. And we have to have small, measurable goals to get where we're trying to go in life. And if it doesn't go from point A all the way to Z, we lose focus on it. because we hear these things and we want to be that next overnight success. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you. That's not the way that this world is structured. And if Jesus had to start from being born in a manger to spending 30 years of learning and teaching and understanding before he could have three dynamic years of ministry, and he had to go recruit his 12 to follow him and make fishers of men, if he had to do all of that before he got to the cross, there is nothing different from us as well. So what I want you to understand, the eyes of the Lord rejoice to see the work begin. So don't get frustrated in starting. Starting is just the beginning to greatness. Amen. Amen. Is this good? All right. All right. All right. Number six here. And you know what? This is going to be my final point. Number six here. And we're talking about how to be faithful over the few. Number six is don't get weary in well doing. Number six is don't get weary in well doing. Okay, Galatians 6 and 9, this is one of the most, I would say this is one of the most, and the reason why I'm going to end with this is one of the most important points for remaining faithful over the few. Don't get weary in well-doing. And again, I'm going to stick with the Message Bible. I like the Message Bible's translation of this text because it says not to, we hear, don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season we will receive a harvest if we faint not, right? I'm going to read to you what the Message Bible says here. And the Message Bible's translation says, so let us not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. Fatigued doing good, tired. We might not go around every day using the word weary, but we understand some fatigue. We understand fatigue. That's why I use that translation here. And this is what I want you to understand. This means that we have to protect our grape of well-doing. We have to protect our grape of well-doing. Remember grapes. They're delicate. Remember a while back here, we talked about how easy it is to spoil a grape. And this is why we want to keep the small sifting fox away from spoiling our grapes, because they're delicate. Sometimes the smallest of things can make us fatigued. What he said, what she said, what they did. I'll give you a little touch this morning here. We've got new sound equipment that we're working on, and we were having our testing. We were testing our sound, and something happened with my mic. And we're talking about 15 to 20 minutes before, Eric can attest to this here, our producer of our broadcast can attest to this here, I lost my sound. And it would have been easy for us to get into the fatigue mindset. It would have been easy for us to just, you know, kind of go off into negative self-talk and all these things that we're giving you here. But you know what we did? We turned it over to God. We did what we knew what we need to do. I rebooted. I did some other stuff here and said, God, we putting this in your hands. Last time I checked, my sound ain't going out today, right? How about that on today? So I just want you to understand, you can't allow the smallest of things get you fatigued. You can't allow the smallest of things get you out of your focus. If you're going to be completely committed, okay, over being faithful over the few things, you can't allow bumps and bruises and potholes and all these things that we can run across get you off base. You've got to stay focused, and you got to battle through when it's tough. You got to coast through when it's good. Because Paul said this, hey, I know what it's like to be in lack. I know what it's like to be in plenty. Despite of whatever state my mind is in, I can do all things through Christ. That's the mindset that we have to have, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to have the mindset, I can get through this. I can press on through this. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I might have gotten bumped around a little bit, but I'm going to still move forward. I might have gotten lifted off my feet a little bit, but I'm going to land and keep moving. This is what we have to do, ladies and gentlemen. Because this world, Jesus said, in this world, we will have trouble. But here's what he said. He said, take heart, because I have overcome the world. And if he has already overcome the world, I don't care what rock, what ship, what position, what bang, what pothole, whatever you experience, you've got to continue to press on and don't get fatigued in doing well. Because in due season, there is something that's coming. If you don't give up, there is something that's waiting on you. If you don't give in and throw in the towel, there is a blessing that's waiting on the other side. So I want to encourage you on today to not get weary and well doing. Because there's this thing here called KPIs. Those are key performance indicators of adding value to what was sown into you. And as you continue to move forward, God is going to continue to build you. He's going to continue to mold you. He's going to continue to shape you. He's going to continue to elevate you. You're going to learn this lesson. You're going to learn that lesson. And before you know it, because you're still moving toward the end goal, you're going to be stronger. That's right. You're going to be wiser. You're going to be better. Okay. And everything else that Marvin Sapp said in that song, all of that stuff is coming to you if you just don't give up. So here's what I want you to know and understand as you see our next slide up here on this morning here. Faith alone won't work, but faith alone with work will work. We're going to let that sit up there for a little bit because I want that to sink into your spirit. Faith alone won't work, but faith alone with work will work. All right, I'm going to put a trilogy on that. I'm going to say that one more time because them sitting way in the back, I want to make sure that they get it. Faith alone, in other words, faith by itself will not work. But faith that is partnered up with your work will work. There is a partnership that has to go along with faith. Let me tell you something. Faith ain't interested in you being fatigued. Faith ain't interested in you being too tired. Faith ain't interested in them saying something getting the best of you. Faith has one focus, and that's to get you from where it is to the next point. And we have to team up with faith, and we have to do what we have to do. We have to put our abilities in front, and we've got to be completely committed so that faith will work. If we work our faith, faith will work. What I'm doing here is acting as though I'm lifting weights this morning because faith is like a muscle. And the more you work that muscle, you have to do your part. The belief system is that I know that my biceps can get larger here, but I got to do this thing called work that's going to take them from here to there. Faith is saying that they're already growing about another half an inch or whatever the case is going to be toned. It's the end result. But faith needs you in the natural to lift that dumbbell or whatever you're using to allow it to be able to come to pass. What am I saying? I'm saying everything that God is going to do in this world, he needs people to bring it into pass. Everything that God is going to do, he needs somebody to put it into manifestation in the natural. This is why we don't have time to be fatigued. This is why we don't have time. I know it's going to happen. I'm not being unrealistic by saying this, but again, there is a remedy for this. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There is a scripture for everything that you can be challenged with in your life. And what we have to do is understand what the word of God says about whatever it is that we may be experiencing. Okay? So faith alone won't work. In other words, I'm just believing God for X and X and X and X. My question to you is, that's great. I am so glad. And I thank God that you've got faith. But then my question is going to be, what are you doing about it? What actions are you taking to allow work to do its point to line up with faith? That's what we have to understand. And what I want you to understand here is that that's how faith works. If we're going to be faithful, we have to put forth the work. We have to be completely committed. We can't get distracted. Okay, all of these things here, these are the tools that's going to take us to the next level of our lives. That's right. We have to work it like it's already done. That's right. We've got to treat it like we saw it in our dream. That's right. We can't wait for it to be great. We've got to work the greatness now, not for tomorrow, but for right now. It is time for us to put forward the work. It is time for us to name it and to claim it. It is time for us to be our own unique greatness and not nobody else's greatness. It is time for us to move forward with what God has for us. Here's what I want you to do, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to walk in your greatness. That's what I want you to do. I want you to start talking in your greatness. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want the world to know about your greatness. That's what I want you to do. It's great because he's great. You got to understand the greatness that abides on the inside of you didn't come from you. It came from him. This is what I want you to know here. It's going to be successful because he's successful. Okay. Lives will be touched because he touches lives. This is what I want you to understand. Everything that you touch, it shall in fact prosper. But we have to change our mindset. We have to change what we say. We've got to get up with a plan and a focus in our lives. And when we do that, we can learn to be faithful over just a few. Here's what we got to do. I said this last week, and I'm going to say that again. We've got to master the few. We've got to master the small capacity. We have to master the little that God has given us. And when we learn to master the little that he's given us, guess what? He's going to give us a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more. And when we learn to do that, that is going to help us be faithful over the few that he's given us. And here's what I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen. I got to tell you something. You're the head and not the tail. You're supposed to be large and in charge. This is what God says to each and every one of us. And I want you to understand, he said that he would make us rulers over many. I want to talk about that next week as we close our message. Because we need to understand what God, his expectations are for all of us. Because if we're faithful over the few, he did say, come and enjoy the joy of the Lord. That's what we're going to talk about next week as we're leading up to the finale on next week. You don't want to miss it because you need to know what God says about you. You need to know and understand what God says about you, what he thinks about you, the positions that he has for you, and what we as a people of God and the positions that we have, what God has for each and every one of us. But I want you to take those six steps that we gave you. If you took notes on those, if you took pictures of those or whatever the case, write them down. Write them down and keep them. If you want me to, I can put them down in the slide. I can send them to you. I just want you to every day look at those things and say, hey, if I'm going to be faithful over what God has given me, I need to do number one. I need to do number two. I need to do number three. I need to do number four. I need to do number five, number six, or whatever the case. And just work on one. Just take one and just say, hey, you know what? Today, I'm just going to focus on eliminating self-talk. This entire week, I'm just going to focus on eliminating self-talk. Then you know what? When you get that down, then I'm going to go to the next application, to the next application. That's how we grow in the principles of the Word of God. This is what Paul said as I get ready to close. Paul said, everything you have learned and seen in me, put those things into practice. That's what he said to do. And what I want us to do is put these tools that we're being given into practice. And I am here to tell you, it is absolutely going to change your life. Okay? If we're ready for life to change, and we've got to change our life. If we're ready for things to change, and we got to change the things. Whatever we want to do, we have to be change makers in our lives. Okay? We have to be change agents in our lives. And if we want to see a change, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, we have to do the change. Okay? So what I want to do is we're going to pick back up from here next week. We're going to talk about, after being faithful over the few, what God says about that. So you want to tune in next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. We've got the tools. We've got the tools. And now we're going to talk about the finale. You don't want to miss the finale next week. You don't want to miss what God is saying and what he's going to give you and what that means to you in your life. What does it mean to be a ruler? What does it mean to be the head and not the tail? These are the things that we're going to talk about next week. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. We laid the foundation. We've got the heartbeat pumping. Okay. We've got the traction game. Now we've got the tools. And now next week, we're going to have the finale. Okay. So you want to tune in next week. But right now, before we do anything, there is somebody out there. They didn't wake up feeling very good. Somebody got some bad news on today. Somebody is going through something right now. And as we're equipping you with the tools and being faithful over the few, here's what I want to do. Somebody right now needs prayer. Somebody right now needs to know that God still loves you. I don't care what you did. I don't care how you did it, who you did it with, why you did it. None of that stuff matters. Here's what God says. That if you confess and believe in your heart, you are saved. I don't care what it is. And he wants to know, he wants you to know, that his arms are open wide and he is waiting for you to come back to him on the throne. That's what he says. He says he wants you to come and enjoy the joy of the Lord with him. That's what he wants you to do on today. So whoever I'm talking to on today here, here's what I want to do. I want to say a prayer for you on today because I want you to understand the greatest thing that you can do is give your life back to God. You lived a lifestyle. You went out there. You tried some things. Okay. The grass wasn't green on the other side. You did all this stuff here. But what God is saying, okay, listen, I have spared your life for a reason. The almost, the couldas, the shouldas, and the almost wouldas didn't happen because I need you. You're living today. You survived that accident. You survived that situation, okay? The medical situation didn't take you out, whatever that is, because I've got great plans for you. I've got a Jeremiah 29:11 for you on today. And because you're still living today, because you're still right now today, here's what I want to do. I want to say a quick prayer over you on today. Heavenly Father, Lord, whoever this is, somebody is dealing with guilt. Lord, they're dealing with guilt and condemnation. And they don't think there's anything that they can do to get back into good graces with you. Father God, that is a lie from the pits of hell. Because your grace is so merciful. Your grace is so plentiful. And whoever it is, Lord Jesus, you've got more grace than what they could have ever done. Your grace will outgrace their situation. Your love will love through. You said love conquers a multitude of sins. So whoever it is that's listening on today, Father God, give them a heart to know that you love them. Just allow your love to spread among their life on today. Allow them to sense a sense of peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards their heart and their mind in Christ Jesus. And let them just start small with a few and being able to grow through you, Father God. Lord, I just thank you for that life, that person, that life that you spared, or whoever they are, that they're going to have the opportunity to come back to you, Father God. It's not too late, but yet tomorrow is not promised. So right now, today, you've got to seize the moment and get your life back right with God today. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what next week brings, but right now, today, somebody has the opportunity to get back into good graces with you, Father God. So for that person, I'm going to ask you, whoever you are, I want you to say this with me. The Bible says, confess and believe, confess and believe, confess and believe. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I want to thank you for another opportunity, for letting me live back with you. I believe that you died, that you rose on the third day with all the power and with all of the glory. Welcome me back into your life. I give you my life as your humble servant. Use me for your purpose and use me for your glory. In the name of Jesus, thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. All right, if that was you and you believe that, you didn't say it just to say it. You didn't say it to just go through the motions, but you sincerely believe that in your life. If that is you, I got great, wonderful news, the best news that you're going to receive all day. The Lord has heard your prayer and you are in fact saved. Amen. I want to thank you for just allowing God to be the head of your life. You have made the absolute best choice and the best decision that you could ever make in your life. You're going to see life at a whole nother level. You're going to experience peace unlike you've never experienced before. People are going to see, hey, you're walking different. You're talking different. There's something different about you. There's going to be a new glow about you because you know what? That's what happens when he gets on the inside of you. His word says, if you abide in him, he abides in you. People are going to start seeing Jesus through you. They're going to start seeing godly things through you. Your conversation is going to clean up. Okay, the things that you do, you're not going to do anymore. You're not going to have that thirst and that quench for certain things anymore. Your taste buds are going to change. Okay, your interest levels are going to change. There is going to be change in your life. And it starts with, guess what? Over the few. It starts with over the few. And that's what I want you to do on today. Just start small with God. And I want to challenge you every day you wake up, just start off by saying, Lord, I thank you. That's the few. Can you just be faithful with saying that? Just wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I thank you for waking me this morning. That's a starting point. That's a starting point. And the plans that he has for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, that is coming on down the road. But just start small. Start with a few. Be faithful in just saying, Lord, I thank you for another day. And if you do that, your life is going to change, okay? All right, so whoever you are, and if you ever want to reach out to me, if you ever want special prayer, if there is something that you want, I do want to keep dialogue, open dialogue with you here. As you see, email address here is PastorJeremy@soilchurch.org. As you see it on the screen, PastorJeremy@soilchurch.org. Just reach out to us here. We left the at sign out, but it's PastorJeremy@soilchurch.org, okay? But just reach out to us here. We love to pray with you, walk you through a full plan of salvation, and anything that you need, we want to be here for you. We don't want anything from you. We want everything for you. We want what God wants for you, okay? We want what God wants for you in your life, all right? Now, here's something that everybody can participate in. It is now giving time. If this word has been a blessing to you, if this word has been awesome to you, and there is something that you benefited from, show God thanks. Okay, let's talk about being faithful over the few. Let's talk about few. Get out of the numbers game for a second. Just start small and say, God, I'm just going to give you something. I'm going to stay within the pocket. I'm going to stay with what we're right now. You know, I'm financially comfortable. I'm going to give within my capacity. And if you just start small, giving within your capacity, he is going to little by little increase your capacity and you'll be able to give more. This is another lesson I'm giving somebody. Okay, just start small. He just wants you to get started. Some of y'all have been listening to these messages here for over a year and you ain't gave one dime. God has been blessing you. Show God, if you want to go to another level, show God that, listen, I appreciate what God is doing. I appreciate the lessons coming from Pastor Glenn. You know, I don't have a whole lot, but I've got something here. Just show God that. I'm telling you this not because we're asking for money from you. Listen here, we are blessed beyond measures. Okay, you can see the background, everything. God is blessing this ministry. I want you to tap into the full abundance of what God has for you. I want what God wants for you. God says that riches and glory are on his mind. He said it. I didn't. He said that he came to give you an abundant life. I didn't say that. He said that. But you have to do your part to tap into it. Okay? So here's what I want you to do. Get out of your comfort zone. And I just want you to give. You've never given before. Just give something. Show God, hey, you know what? I am growing with this ministry. I am growing with the tools. I am growing with everything that he's given us, right? So guess what? I'm going to show that. I'm going to back it up with a financial gift, okay? I'm going to back it up with a financial gift. And if you can't give anything, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Like this page, share this page, tell somebody about it. Just do something, okay? Just take action somewhere. Let's pray over every offering. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for every seed coming into this storehouse, Lord. I want to thank you for growth and just taking us to new levels, Lord, and everything that you're doing, Lord. You said in your word that obedience is greater than sacrifice. And I can stand before you now with new sound equipment and all these things because of somebody out there was obedient. Somebody out there is believing in where this ministry is going. Somebody out there is believing in where we're going. And we're going to an entire different level, Lord. And it takes some things. It takes monetary financial contributions to get there, Lord. And I know you've got it all under control. So therefore, I just thank you because we want people to be a part of this investment. We want them to receive everything that good ground can produce for them, Lord. They're sowing on good ground. And this is good ground that's going to do life-changing things for them in their life. And I thank you in advance for every seed. Lord, I speak a hundredfold return on every seed. Lord, that you tie the enemy's hands where he's seeking to kill, steal, and destroy and disrupt every seed. Get the negative self-talk out of somebody's mind about giving, Lord. And help them to welcome and receive every wonderful thing that you have for them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Your word says simply, give and it shall be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. And we don't talk about this enough, but there is men will give unto our bosoms. That means that people will start giving them things that they didn't expect, things that they didn't ask for. Wonderful blessings just coming from this way, that way, and every other way, just because they started giving. Giving is such a wonderful thing. And if you give, you will in fact receive. And I want to thank you for every seed being sown right now in Jesus' name. And Heavenly Father, as we leave on today, I want to thank you for a wonderful, successful word. Thank you for a strong production. Thank you for allowing the sound to come through. We want to thank you for the steps that you have given us, Lord. You said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Thank you for ordering our steps, Lord. These are six steps that are going to change our lives, and we're going to learn to become great stewards of being faithful over the few. In the name of Jesus, Lord, cover us everywhere that we are. Wherever the enemy is plotting right now, somebody's getting ready to step out the house and something's waiting on them right now. Thank you for rebuking the devourer, Lord Jesus. Cover us all with your shield of protection, Lord. Protect us from dangers that we can see, dangers that we don't see, and keep your angels strong around everywhere that we go in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak protection and I speak clarity in everything that we do in our life. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Amen. Listen, everybody, come back next week. We're going to be talking about being rulers over many. You don't want to miss it. Tell your neighbor. Tell somebody about it. Get somebody to have a thought watch party. Do all those things that we can do. Allow somebody to receive this word. If it's being a blessing to you, now you get a chance to be a blessing to somebody else. Hey, we'll see you next Sunday. That's right, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always say, don't meet me there. That's right, beat me there. Have a fantastic Sunday, folks. And we'll see you folks soon. Take care.